What do we know about the books of Esther, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah? What is their connection? Really shouldn't be that hard. It's Purim. They all occur during the time of the Babylonian captivity. Ezra and Nehemiah, during the tail end, documenting the time of conclusion of Adonai's stated time. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 8 through 10. For this is what Adonai says, the God of Israel, says this: Don't let your prophets who are living among you and your diviners deceive you, and don't pay attention to the dreams you urge them to dream, for they are prophesying falsely in my name. They are prophesying falsely in my name. I have not sent them, says Adonai. For here is what Adonai says: After Babel's 70 years are over, I will remember you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. So like I said earlier, you're going to be here for a while. Don't hope for something or pray for something because it's not going to come to pass, because God had a designated time that they would remain in Babylon or later on in Persia. So the 70 years are coming to a conclusion. And yet another king of this ever-changing empire, now the Persian Empire, makes the following declaration. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Koresh, king of Persia, in order for the word of Adonai prophesied by Jeremiah to be fulfilled, Adonai stirred up the spirit of Koresh, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout the whole kingdom, which also put in writing as follows. Here is what Koresh, king of Persia, says: Adonai, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms on the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem in Judea. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. He may go up to Jerusalem in Judea and build the house of Adonai, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. So not a moment sooner, not a moment later. Adonai inspires Koresh to make a proclamation. It says in Ezra 1, God stirred him up. Didn't provoke him to jealousy, but prompted him to make this declaration. It is in these four books, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, and Esther, that we see an accounting of the relevant moments from Adonai's perspective during this nation's exile from the land due to their transgression. We can also include Jeremiah in this quartet, thus making it a quintet. Jeremiah was there when? Jeremiah 52, verse 3. And it was because of Adonai's anger that all these things happened in Jerusalem and Judea, until he had thrown them out of his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babel. So in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of that month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, marched against Jerusalem with his entire army. He set up camp against it and built siege towers against it on every side. The city remained under siege into the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, when the famine in the city was so severe that there was no food for the people of the land, they broke through into the city. All the soldiers fled and left the city by night, through the gate between the two walls, near the king's garden, because the Kasdim were surrounding the city, they took the route through the Arava. So here you have a nation falling under judgment, and God using the nations to inflict his judgment. In verse 13, he burned down the house of Adonai, the royal palace, and all the houses in Jerusalem. Every noble person's house he burned to the ground. The whole army of the Kasdim, who were with the commander of the guard, broke down all the walls of Jerusalem on every side. And we know what transpired afterwards. They basically were removed from the land to the land of Babel. In other words, Jeremiah was there. He was there at the beginning of the end, so to speak. So, can God make lemonade out of lemons?
Yeah.
Easy answer to the question. But you have to ask yourself, what are the lemons? The lemons are Israel's transgression, their adultery, their unfaithfulness to Adonai in worshiping other gods. Can he still make lemonade out of these lemons?
Yeah.
Good, because the answer didn't change. Quoting 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18, where Eliyahu is encountered by Ahab and Jezebel, Shaul conveys this promise made by Adonai. It's found in Romans chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. God has not repudiated his people, whom he chose in advance. He may be punishing them, but he has not rejected them. Or don't you know what the Tanakh says about Eliyahu? He pleads with God against Israel. Adonai, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I'm the only one left, and now they want to kill me too. But what is God's answer to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not knelt down to Baal. It is the same way in the present age. There is a remnant chosen by grace. And it would be this faithful remnant, even at the time of the exile, for whom we are still talking about to this very day. Today we talk about a faithful woman who put her life on the line for her people. Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan and have them fast for me, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, night and day, and I and the girls attending, who are attending me, will fast the same way. Then I will go in to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. We talked about her. We sort of have a little bit of a reading of the Megillah in a somewhat humorous fashion, but still, you heard the Megillah. An unauthorized appearance before the king could have meant her death. Yet the footsteps of her path to where she was were ordered by Adonai. In Esther chapter 8, starting in verse 3, again Esther spoke to the king. She fell at his feet and begged him with tears to put an end to the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, that the Agagite had caused. Yes, you can do that. By the scheme he had worked out against the Jews, the king extended the gold scepter toward Esther. So Esther got up and stood in front of the king. She said, if it please the king, if I have won his favor, if the matter seem right to the king, and if I have his approval, then let an order be written rescinding the letter devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews in all the royal provinces. For how can I bear to see this disaster that will overcome my people? How can I endure seeing the extermination of my kinsmen? King Ahasuerus said to Esther, the queen, and Mordecai the Jew, "Listen, I gave Esther the house of Haman, and they hanged him on the gallows because he threatened the lives of the Jews." So here you have the outcome of what transpired from Esther going in. She probably didn't just fast, but she likely prayed as well. There is nothing that says this specifically, so we do know that she likely prayed. Today, we talk of a faithful man who would not concede to the king's ways and was ultimately honored by the king. You may think that I'm talking about Mordecai, because these things did happen to Mordecai. Esther chapter 3 and verse 2, all the king's servants of the king's gate would kneel and bow down before Haman. Because the king had so ordered. But Mordecai would neither kneel nor bow down to him. This is what inspired Haman to bring forth a decree against the Jews. However, Mordecai, because he was faithful first to God, then the king, was honored by God. Esther chapter 10, verse 1, King Ahasuerus laid tribute on the land, the coast, and its islands, all the acts of the power of the might, along with the full account of the high honor to which the king advanced Mordecai, are written in the annals of the kings of Media and Persia. For Mordecai the Jew was second only to the king. He was a great man among the Jews, popular with all his many countrymen. He sought the good of his people and interceded for the welfare of all their descendants. Yet this isn't who I'm talking about. Another man at the same time went through the same thing. Daniel refused to eat the king's food. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or the wine he drank. So he asked the chief officer to be excused from defiling himself. He would not defile himself. This could mean one of two things, or even both. Daniel would not defile himself by eating food that was sacrificed to idols, a provision given to Gentiles in the New Covenant today. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. Instead, we should write to them a letter telling them to abstain from things polluted by idols. It's right there. Or it could have been to do with food not meeting the standards conveyed in Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14. Or it could be both. We don't know. Yet Daniel took a stand, something that could have very easily gotten him killed. Yet it was Adonai who not only ordered the steps of his path, but also provided along the way. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. God caused the chief officer to be kind and sympathetic towards Daniel. God prompted, just as God stirred the heart of the king of Persia. However, the chief officer said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king after all. He has given you an allowance of food and drink. So if you were to see you boys looking worse than the others your age, you would be putting my own head in danger from the king. There is this interaction that's going on, and Daniel basically says, let's try something here. Give us vegetables and water. Let us eat those. Then in 10 days, let's see what happens. At the end of the 10 days, they looked better and more robust than all the boys who were eating the king's food. So the guard took away their food and the wine they were supposed to drink and gave them vegetables. How important are your parents' words now? Eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
So Adonai would honor Daniel in that he first honored him. At the end of chapter 1, it says, Daniel remained there until the first year of the king of Koresh. What was he doing? He was basically granted the wisdom and he was given all these things. Verse 17, God had given him knowledge and skill in every aspect of learning and wisdom. Moreover, Daniel could understand all kinds of visions and dreams. God honored him because Daniel first honored him. And then there's a couple passages in Daniel, in chapter 6 and chapter 9, where we see there was basically a plot against the Jews where they were trying to entrap Daniel because he was so upright that they couldn't find anything to entrap him. So they encouraged the king to basically for 30 days say, well, you can't bow down or pray to any god. You must only honor the king. So what does Daniel do? On learning that the document had been signed, Daniel went home. The windows of the upstairs room were open in the direction of Jerusalem, and there he kneeled down 3 times a day and prayed, giving thanks before his God, just as he had been doing before. And what happened? God heard his prayer. So he was faithful, even when he was in exile. So we see a faithful remnant living in Persia for 70 years. So what is the key found in Daniel's prayer? I believe the key is found in Daniel 9. Starting in verse 1, in the first year of the son of Ahasuerus, who was the same king who was Esther's husband. This is now his son. Amid by birth, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chasdim, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was reading the scriptures and thinking about the number of years which Adonai had told Jeremiah the prophet would be the period of Jerusalem's desolation, 70 years. I turned to Adonai to seek an answer, pleading with him in prayer and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to Adonai, my God, and made this confession. Please, Adonai, great and fearsome God, who keeps his covenant and extends grace to those who love him and observe his mitzvah. The righteous may get caught in with the unrighteousness of the others. In essence, what are we but collateral damage? Meaning we too must face the consequences of the nation's transgression. Yet this does not mean we have lost favor. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. We've heard that before. Shaul talks about that. Yet a rotten apple does not spoil the whole bushel. In other words, we are of the world, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. So as Daniel was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, his faith was likely encouraged by these words given to the prophet. And these are the words. "For I know what plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai. Plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have hope and a future." They did not change because of their circumstances. This faithful remnant did not change because of the transgressions of others. And they did not cast blame on those who transgressed. "It's your fault we're here. Never going to let you forget that either." They didn't do that. But they followed these words, as was conveyed by Jeremiah in verses 12 and 13. "When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek for me wholeheartedly. And I will let you find me, says Adonai. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from the nations and places where I have driven you. I will bring you back to the place from which I exiled you." So he's holding on these promises because one of the things that transpired with Daniel in chapter 9, as he was praying, as he was fasting, as he was seeking the Lord for understanding to the prophecy of Jeremiah, at the end of chapter 9, "Know therefore and discern, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, for putting an end to the transgression, for making an end to sin, for giving iniquity, for bringing in everlasting justice, for setting the seal on vision and prophet, and for anointing the especially holy place." These very things in Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 24, is the prophecy of Messiah coming before the destruction of the temple that would be rebuilt by Ezra and Nehemiah. So what are we going to conclude from this? Wherever you are, when you enter into a covenant with Adonai, his covenant, and adhere to its statements and its standards wholeheartedly, he will hear you. So we say with all our heart, Shema Yeladim. We say with our whole heart, hear. So if everybody will please rise.